Hello and welcome to this edition of Golf Joe Podcast with Rex and Lav. Well, folks, if I told you that Scottie Scheffler was going to be in the final group on Sunday to try and complete the final leg of the career Grand Slam, you would probably be pretty excited. Instead, it appears for now that Wyndham Clark has snuffed all the drama and all of the excitement out of this 126th U.S. Open. Wyndham Clark grew his lead from 4 shots to 6 shots after a closing bogey on the 18th hole here at Shinnecock. Wyndham Clark now has the fourth largest 54-hole lead at a U.S. Open all time, behind only Tiger Woods back in 2000, Roy McIlroy back in 2011, and Jim Barnes as well more than a century ago. Rex, what did we just witness with Wyndham Clark now up by 6?
I think you're right. Normally, I'm a little reluctant to call these tournaments. They like to play all 72 holes is what I normally say. However, it's hard to wrap your mind around how anyone, even the world number one, Scottie Scheffler, who showed some real signs of life coming down the stretch late on the harder nine. Like he made up all of his ground on the second nine, which is by far the harder nine. But I think we both said it yesterday that if Wyndham Clark comes out over the weekend and shoots 2 rounds of 70, just goes even par over the weekend, it was going to be hard to catch him. I mean, 7-under seems like a really good target score. And up until the last hole, he was actually going to do one better than that, made a bit of a sloppy bogey on 18. Maybe to give everyone a glimmer of hope. Maybe. I don't know if you're Scottie Scheffler at home. I don't know how much you really took from that because you're still staring uphill. Scottie's done this before. He's come from behind by 6 strokes or more after 54 holes in his career. But the fact of the matter is, the afternoon wave got the much better end of this draw today. This morning, I think you and I both would have said, yep, they're not finishing this round. It was brutal out there this morning. By this afternoon, absolutely perfect afternoon. A little bit of wind, warm conditions, absolutely perfect for scoring, and no one really made up any ground. They lost ground, as you pointed out.
If you're curious, the largest 54-hole blown lead in U.S. Open history is 5 shots, obviously, by Mike Brady all the way back in the 1919 U.S. Obviously. Open. So, yes, this would be unprecedented. Let's start with the weather because you and I were both on the morning live from on Saturday morning. It was absolutely pumping. I mean, 40 to 45 mile an hour gusts. The stage that I was on, which was located just off the 18th tee, I mean, it was rocking. You were out there in front of the clubhouse. The little hair you have was blowing everywhere. What we thought we were going to have was a bit of a massacre. And obviously, the forecast did call for the wind to die down as the afternoon progressed. I think particularly sort of the 6 p.m. hour on, it was supposed to really lie down. What I thought we had, though, Rex, was a pretty good combination where certainly the morning starters got hit pretty hard by the strongest winds. But I also thought that even though it may not have blown all that hard, and we're still talking 15, 20 miles an hour, it was plenty challenging enough, and the sun and the wind from the day really helped dry out and firm the greens to create what I thought was a really, really strong U.S. Open test on Saturday.
And it felt more like Shinnecock Hills. I think that's what we were trying to get to. That's the conversation we had this morning on the pregame show. I think they'll have it tonight. I think the USGA got through 2 rounds. That essentially was the mission. Let's get all 56 players around for 2 rounds and see where we stand in the morning. And I think there was a lot of, certainly between you and I and the rest of the folks who were on the morning show, some anxiety because you were going to start pushing it in what seemed like the worst conditions of the week, what seemed like impossible conditions. You look at how a couple of those first groups went out. You're right. Yeah, I could see the smile on your face. I could see you getting giddy. You're an agent of chaos. You love it to death. Dylan Wu makes an 8 on the first hole, just makes a mess of it. And suddenly you're thinking, yes, it's going to be one of those days. And it really wasn't. And again, I think had a lot to do with the forecast as the day wore on. But they got the golf course where they want it. To your point, we're starting to see those big bounces. We're starting to see balls run out. I don't know how many times you saw players hit what they probably thought were pretty good wedge shots, and they would just bound over the greens into impossible positions. Certainly, Rory McIlroy was guilty of that today.
I mean, the 10th hole was absolutely wild. We had guys in there hitting anywhere from 50 to 100-yard shots. Scottie Scheffler had 75 yards, and he thought that he was essentially playing a flop shot from that position. He actually pulled it off, was able to make birdie on the hole, but almost every single player, certainly in the last couple groups, was hitting a short iron, bouncing it, and bounding over the back of the green. and making a bogey. Let's get into to Wyndham Clark, right? Because I thought that this was phenomenal. And obviously, we're going to talk about the incredible shots, and those are the ones that are going to be replayed. I thought Wyndham Clark really boosted his advantage on Saturday because of his par saves. And I could rattle them off real quickly here because I have just notes for days. Sixth hole, 7-footer. Seventh hole, 5-footer. Ninth hole, 6-footer. 10th hole, 5-footer. 11th hole, 5.5-footer. 13th hole, 13 feet. 17th hole, 4 feet. I mean, over and over and over again, he was able to get himself out of trouble and, again, make putts on a day that was really, really difficult for putting. The greens were soft because the USGA still had to water them to make sure they didn't get completely dead in the whipping winds. They're bumpy because it's Poana, and they're bumpy certainly late in the afternoon because of all the foot traffic playing in front of the final groups as well. It was really tricky for putting. And yeah, with a couple of exceptions for Wyndham Clark, he putted phenomenally well and was able to keep his nose in front because of those great saves.
And I think that's key. There was a point this afternoon where there was actually Rory seemed to be making a run on the second nine. Seems like he was closing the gap a little bit. And I was just checking the stats, and Rory had got to number one in strokes gained putting. And it's been a bad ball striking week for Rory. So it gave you a glimmer of hope that maybe someone can make a run at Wyndham Clark. By the end of the day, Wyndham took that back in a very commanding fashion coming down the stretch. Because you look at what he's doing statistically, he only hit half his greens today. And at Shinnecock Hills, which we've talked about all week long, second shot golf course, you can put yourself in such bad positions around these greens. You're right. He was just magical. It seems every single time he was standing over a 5-10 footer for par, he converted, the 18th hole being the exception here, but he did what he had to do. I was talking with his sports psychologist, Julie Elon, about it. And there's just a comfort level now in this situation. You go back to LACC, what he was able to do there. The difference now is he knows he's a much more complete player. He's much more at ease with himself. He's happier off the golf course. It almost looked clinical from a standpoint. And this is from a player who just a year ago, you would argue, was probably on the downward spiral of his career based on what he was doing. He'd missed the cut at the U.S. Open. He destroyed the locker. He was having to apologize publicly. His game was in really bad shape. It's amazing, really, what he's been able to accomplish. Just not this week. He's coming off a win at the CJ Cup a few weeks ago. But he's the last month, I don't think anybody has been more consistent than he has.
I mean, so consistent, the confidence, the momentum that he has. Like, he's standing over these 5 or 6 footers, again, with a couple of exceptions, knowing that he is going to pour them in. A couple of big ones, I thought, in my opinion, Rex. The 10th hole in particular, again, we mentioned how many players went over the back of the green. One of the few players who actually drove it in low, hit the bank, ran it out to about 6 feet, and was able to pour that putt in, followed it up in the very next hole after missing short and right in the bunker, took on a pretty brave shot where if that one carries a yard or two, that one's drifting over the back, and all of a sudden you're bringing double into play. And I thought the big one as well on 13, a drivable hole in the third round when they moved up the tee with the wind aiding them. We saw Roy McIlroy go in the greenside bunker. We saw Scottie Scheffler missing just short. Wyndham Clark, as he is prone to do, hit it way right, sort of overcooked. His fade shot was in big trouble, ended up making a 13-footer there. So those are the saves that we're all going to remember. He also, Rex, I think we'd be remiss if we did not talk about the incredible shots as well. Obviously, there was a grittiness. Obviously, there was a tenacity. Obviously, there was some clutchness inside 6 feet. But how about the shot on 14, the beautiful high fade to about 15 shot? And obviously, the shot that's going to be replayed over and over again was the 3-wood into 16. 275 yards, high-cutting 3-wood back into the breeze, hits it to 5 feet. It looks like, at least for now, we're supposed to sit here on Saturday night, that's going to be the shot that wins him the U.S. Open.
It is, and it's funny, just earlier, maybe 30, 40 minutes earlier, Scottie Scheffler had hit what you would have thought was the shot of the tournament on the exact same hole. Scottie probably hit it to 20 or 25 feet, did not convert the eagle, but it seemed like he had
13. Hit to 13 feet, Rex.
Hit a great shot, now, which you would have argued at that point in time might have been the shot of the tournament, and then Wyndham Clark just does that on top of him. It's worth pointing out, and I am going to poke the bear a little bit, Sleepyhead had to go back to the house. Those of you who are watching on YouTube will see that he is not at the golf course. We were here very, very early. I went straight back to the house after this shift. You tried to gut it out, wore yourself out. You were sleepy. You were low energy. You weren't going to bring it, so you went back to the house. I hope you had a good nap. Didn't even take a nap.
Didn't even take a nap.
I did. I will tell you, though, since you weren't here, Scottie Scheffler in his post-round interview didn't seem that upset. Felt like he was in good position. Like what he did. Felt like he's in a good – feel like going into Sunday, he's exactly where he might want to be. Rory McIlroy also felt pretty good. Didn't seem to be upset at all. I don't think they anticipated that Wyndham was going to finish the way he did. Maybe they feel a little bit different right now. But I think it's a testament to how hard this golf course was playing today and what Wyndham was able to accomplish.
Yeah, and Scottie is probably relieved to get off the golf course, signed for 69, is now going to be in the final group with Wyndham Clark on Sunday, knowing that he still has an opportunity to win this golf tournament without what is pretty clear, without his best stuff. You look at what happened in that third round 69, started bogey-bogey. He missed more fairways in his first five holes than he had done in the previous two rounds combined. But Rex, he really got hot on the back nine once again. Hit his last eight fairways, came home in 32. The best moment, as we talked about, was a pretty demonstrative fist pump and yell after chipping in for birdie on the 14th hole, followed up, as you mentioned, with a birdie on 15, followed up with a two-putt birdie on 16. I think he's probably left wanting a little bit because, look, he could have converted the 13-footer on 16 for eagle. He could have converted the 7-footer for par on 17. He could have converted the 4-footer for birdie on 18. I can't help but wonder how different that final 60 to 90 minutes could have potentially looked had Scottie Scheffler posted on the board at 3-under par when at the time Wyndham Clark was just 6-under. Still, it is going to be Scottie in the final group. What sort of fear factor do you think he could potentially bring with such a momentous achievement potentially on deck?
I think the world number one always brings some sort of intimidation factor simply because of what he's accomplished in his career and what he could accomplish on Sunday. He could become a Grand Slam champion, career Grand Slam champion. Could be the first one to do it on his birthday. Could be the second one to do it on Father's Day after Gary Player. There's a lot there to unpack. However, you're spotting a player that's clearly playing well right now, six shots over 18 holes. Scottie, I'm sure, is very happy to be in that final group in signature Scottie style. He sort of shrugged when we asked him about it, said, well, better than being in the second to last group, I guess. And I could see where it's coming from, but I keep going back to, I don't want to take anything away from Wyndham Clark on this front. Today statistically was the hardest day of the three they played golf here. And I don't think we can overstate how well he's played. I can't think we can overstate how confident he is. And I even playing with Scottie Scheffler, and again, talking with his sports psychologist, it's going to be a similar situation to what he ran into at LACC when he was paired with Ricky Fowler. And Ricky Fowler was clearly the favorite out of that group. And what Julie essentially told him to do is every time you hear someone yell, go Ricky, or root for Ricky, just turn it back on yourself. Make sure you understand that I need to make this about me. So he's mentally prepared for this. He's been here before. And even if Scottie Scheffler goes out and does something special, at this point, he still needs help from Wyndham.
That's a great comp. What happened with Ricky Fowler back in 2023, it's pretty clear that Wyndham Clark is not going to be the fan favorite on Sunday. Going to be a very interesting dynamic. I do wonder, though, Rex, the probability, the likelihood of a player hunting him down just because of the nature of the golf course. It is going to take so much energy and focus and concentration just for a player to focus on their own game that you can't necessarily be leaderboard watching as well and sort of gaming it out and having that focus as well. It's a really dangerous golf course to try and push and get aggressive, particularly if it's going to be increasingly firm. I do think, and you're going to have this report on Sunday morning on Live From, we are expected to see the most benign conditions of the week. You would think birdies in that situation, well, the USGA could also just not syringe the greens prior, and all of a sudden you're going to have a really firm golf course where the margins for error are really, really thin.
And I can confirm they plan to run them at 11. Again, tomorrow on the step meter, which is what they ran him today. I think there was some doubt that that was a good decision based on the forecast, based on the winds we experienced. But I think if you look at what transpired over the first two rounds, the USGA felt comfortable pushing the golf course on Saturday because they had, for lack of a better term, babied it for 2 days. It was green. It was lush. It was soft. All of the things we've talked about, players didn't complain, but they were certainly a little surprised that they're a lot slower than I expected. You're not getting that big first bounce. We started to see that, I think, a little bit on Saturday. My guess, by the time we get to this point, Sunday afternoon, and the final groups are finishing up, it's going to look a lot like what we saw in 2018.
I mean, the setup, in my opinion, has been terrific. Yeah. From the USGA, as you mentioned, erring on the side of caution for the first couple rounds, making sure you get 156 players through, make sure you're not losing the golf course like they've done the previous two times at Shinnecock, which is a pretty interesting golf course, just sort of agronomically with some of the conditions they face here. I thought this was perfect on Saturday as well, winnowing down the number of players under par from 10 to start the third round. Now you sit here with just 5 and Wyndham Clark out front by a big, big margin. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Golf Joe Podcast with Rex and Lav. We'll be back very early. Yes, 7 a.m. Eastern time on Golf Channel. That is why we are cutting this mini pod short after just 15 minutes. Much to get to, many notes to gobble up, many segments to plow through. After the final round, Rex and I will be doing our Made for TV 52-minute edition on Sunday night, airing on YouTube as well as Golf Channel on Monday morning. We'll also have plenty more in the Live From with Rex and Lav newsletter, which you have not signed up for. Make sure you go to golfshow.com/Rex and Lav to sign up for that. We'll have another edition that drops on Monday. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the support. Happy Father's Day, and enjoy the final round of the 126th U.S. Open.
Good night, Gary.